Hello, and welcome to Parking Thought, the show where we highlight the good in the world, from the extraordinary to the everyday. You're going to want to like and subscribe wherever you find us. Curiosity, meet gratitude. My name is Jacob, and I'm glad you're here today. In this edition, we're going to be talking to Jacob Bateman, who is a friend of mine from Oklahoma. And as I teased about in the previous episodes, this week we are doing a couple things with the podcast. One of them is we are starting all the titles with "and the," right? Just for the fun of it, right? So we had Parking Thought and the dog, we had Parking Thought and the goose attacked me, and now we're going to have Parking Thought and the buffalo watched, right? And this is in reference to some experiences that Jacob and I have both had, but he's had a few more experiences with buffalo. So Jacob, if you wouldn't mind, would you introduce yourself to our audience and how we kind of got connected?
Yeah, well, as you just heard, I'm Jacob as well, and we got connected up in the good old land of Oklahoma, and you know, we went to the same congregation and there at church, and I was actually, 15, 16 when we met, and you were this crazy old 30-year-old man that just invited me to go running with him, and you got me running with you, and now here I am. I live out in Utah, actually, married, and actually still running, actually training for a 100-mile race right now with my wife, thanks to Jacob, you getting me going on it.
Yeah, so you give me all the credit for that, but by the time you end up having a running injury, I don't want any of the credit. This is all you. You got that going fine.
All right. Yeah, I figure I'm going to give you the good, so you got to take the bad as well. So,
we do believe in honesty on this show, but not right now. Okay, so there was one particular run where we really got you out. There were two runs I remember doing with you. One of them was kind of like a mud run that was fun, and I remember that happened around it was conference weekend actually, and I remember having to shower off afterwards just to get the mud off of all of our clothes. Because by the time we were done with it, we were severely muddy, which was awesome. And it happened towards the end of a drought. Something else in that part of Oklahoma that tended to be pretty common around that time period was wildfires. And so, the run in particular, I remember that we took you out on, we'd planned on going into the wildlife refuge, which was nearby. So it's just north of Fort Sill, Oklahoma, rolling plains with some mountains, or what people in Oklahoma call mountains. What is it? Mount Scott is there. Was that it?
And yeah, Mount Scott, the bump.
Right. And compared to what you're living with in Utah, Mount Scott was the sort of mountain you could drive to the very top of, and it would take you 7 minutes to drive from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, I heard it legally. I think it was a couple hundred feet actually short of being classified as an actual mountain. That's what I heard. But, you know, it's the biggest bump in the area, so we call it the mountain out there.
Right. Not terribly big by any means. But yeah, so Mount Scott was there, and you know, otherwise it was kind of like not really rolling hills, but it was just this sort of terrain that had been set aside for wildlife, and some of the wildlife that were there, lots of birds and other things like that. In the Great Depression era, they built quite a few dams, so it was a water, lots of reservoirs were in that area, and they also had several buffalo or American bison that were there. And if you drive through the wildlife refuge, there's a very good chance that you will have to stop because there's probably some sort of buffalo or whatever crossing the road. Now, we had decided that we were going to go running in this environment because, you know, why not? Great open terrain. I love running in the outdoors, pick a trail and just go. And the weekend that we had planned this, because I think we planned this a couple weeks out, there was a huge wildfire and it ripped through that entire wildlife refuge. And so, do you remember this part about the how they shut down the wildlife refuge and they wouldn't let us in?
Yeah, so, they had roadblocks up, didn't they?
Yeah, so we drive a little ways in, we hit the roadblock, and the guy tells us to turn around and we're not welcome there. And it's like, well, dude, by this point, the fire had moved north of all the trails that we wanted to run on, right? So it was like, there was no hot ash really at that point, it was just ash. Right. And if we were going to go running on the south side of the road and the fire was on the north side, I'm like, hey, what's the problem here? We're going to stay to the south. And the guy was like, no, you have to turn around and go back. So I turned around, got out of sight of where he was at, parked on the side of the road, and then we took off and went running. And I
didn't we bushwhack through the field at first to make sure we were out of his sight?
We did, and that's where we ended up running into the buffalo, right? Because we were running, and the buffalo were smart enough to avoid the fire, and we were running in an area that didn't get impacted by it. So we're running through this, it's not tall grass, but it's like, you know, a foot and a half tall. And we're bushwhacking it through there. And I remember coming up over this rise and just looking over, and there's like this buffalo just hanging down, you know, just over this horizon. And he's just sitting there, and I could see there's kind of a trail, like an animal trail that we're running on. And the buffalo just kind of like 30 feet away, just looks at me like, hey, what are you doing here, kid? This is my space, right? And I was ahead of you guys by a little bit. What was it like when you got to that point?
Oh, it almost just stops you in your tracks, right? When you get over there and there you are 30 feet from the buffalo. You really don't realize how enormous those animals are until you're that close to them. And wow, I mean, it's just all I can say.
It's like thousands of pounds sitting right there that could easily do some harm to you if you scared it or activated it. And so in the previous episode, I talked about how I accidentally scared a mother goose and it ended up attacking me. It landed on the back of my head, right? And like hit me with its
feet. Man, I got to hear this one.
So you'll have to listen to the previous episode. I know you didn't even know I podcasted until tonight when I called you. And that's fine. This is how I reconnect with friends. I say, hey, I wrote a podcast now. Let's talk. And so it's kind of fun. All right. So we're running and the buffalo just kind of turns and watches us. Now, after we got past the buffalo and we started running into where the fire had been, for me, it was the most like surreal experience because typically there's so much oak brush and scrub brush in that area that you had to stay on the trails. But after the fire, all of that was gone. All of that, you know, foliage was just gone. And so you could take any route you wanted up to any peak you wanted. And so I found a peak off in the distance, about a half mile, three quarters of a mile away. And I just started, you know, thump, 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 thump with my feet, you know, try to have light, happy feet, you know, getting all the way up there. And it was just, for me, it was awesome. It was like, what I imagined running on the moon. Right now that you've put a lot of miles on your underneath you, have you ever had that sort of experience again where you've been able to run on like fresh ash, you know, in that kind of moon sort of poofy feel?
Honestly, that is the only time I've ever had that sort of experience. You felt light as you moved up that mountain, and I know you were in better shape than me at the time, so you were leading the way, but it was. And, you know, it's also Oklahoma, so it wasn't a huge mountain. But, yeah, there was nothing in your way, and it was just a little bit of dust puffing up every time we ran. And it was an awesome experience. And in Oklahoma, when you get on a peak like that, you can see everywhere, you know, right. The whole valley. And it was just an awesome feeling to be up there. But, now, going back to the buffalo, though, do you remember we had your dog at the time, correct? I just want to make sure.
Did we have Moby with us? I think we did. Yeah, we did have Moby.
Do you remember? Moby actually went after the buffalo. This actually might have been on our way back to the car, though.
I don't remember Moby being after the buffalo, but that wouldn't surprise me. So let's describe Moby. Moby was a Black Lab Border Collie mix, so very high energy, very high herding instinct as well. And, you know, he used to try to herd horses up until he got kicked by one, and that taught him not to try to herd horses. But he never, you know, he tried to herd cows near our house before. And so I think none of the cows ever really did anything to teach him that was a bad idea. This doesn't surprise me, but I don't remember this part. So, Jacob, go ahead. What did Bobby do?
This was actually, when you said that buffalo asked about this buffalo experience, this was the first thing that came to mind for me. I think we were running back and we were actually on the road at this point and we were running back to the car and we come across another buffalo, same distance, about 30 feet from us. And Moby just runs right at it, barking at it. And that buffalo just like looked at Moby and basically let out this big grunt, stomped its feet, and like took a step of like a I'm gonna charge you step and grunt towards Moby, and that sent the message to Moby, and then that dog came running right back to us.
Oh wow. Okay. See, by that point in the run I was so tired and exhausted I just didn't, you know what I mean? You're kind of disconnected from anything with your feet.
I can't believe you don't remember this, because that was, I thought your dog was going to get itself killed by that buffalo right then and there.
So I love my animals, but if they do something stupid like that, then it's like, what do you want me to do? Like, you know, I can't.
Yeah, very true. Very true. But, you know, that buffalo definitely, it was, I thought it was just amazing. Like, it sent that message right through to Moby, and right when he like did that stomp and grunt towards him, Moby came flying back for us. Like, he was like, I'm not messing with this guy.
So I'm really glad that the buffalo didn't feel threatened by us, right? That they'd seen enough people to not be threatened by us and do that, you know, because I don't think I'm going to outrun those things. You know, I mean, what we were doing was really dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, you know, that's part of the risk you take in life, right? You choose the risks that you are willing to take for the experience you want to have. And for me, it was like, okay, I'm not going to do that every day because, you know, mathematically numbers, blah, blah, blah. But would I go do that again? Yeah, that was such a beautiful experience to be out there and feel connected to all of those things, you know?
It's why I run. It's why I run right there for moments like that.
So speaking of moments like that, when we started, before we started recording this call, which took us a while to figure out the technology on that one, by the way, you were telling me about a run that you had with your wife that also involved buffalo, and I wasn't around for this one. So why don't we get you to tell me?
Yeah, this was a year ago. We were actually, we were training for a 50-mile race last year, and so we went out to Antelope Island here in Utah. It's by Syracuse, Utah. It's on the Great Salt Lake. You actually drive out. They got a road that goes out onto this island, and it's a state park. And so we decided we wanted to do, we had about a 25-mile run. We wanted to train there. Now, we didn't start the run till about 4 p.m. because of work and things on a Saturday. So we get out there, and it gets dark around 8:30. So we're out there, and we're trucking through, and there's a lot of buffalo on Antelope Island. And we had seen some in the distance during the daylight, but we hadn't really come across them. But we have just a few miles left, and dusk had just set. And we're up on this peak part of the island, so we could see off of both sides. And then we decide to take a different route back that's going to give us the correct mileage. And we drop down into this valley. And now it's pretty dark. Our headlamps are on. You can see just a little bit of light on the horizon, but you can't really make out much. And we drop right into a field of probably about 100 buffalo. And as I look at where the trail is headed, it's going right in the middle of this herd. And so me and my wife, we normally run, there's a little bit of distance, like 10 to 30 yards between us. So I slow up. I was in the lead at that point. And as we start to get into the buffalo, at first I'm like, man, this is awesome. Here I am, just the two of us and a whole herd of buffalo. But then I start to think, I'm like, freak, it's just the two of us and a whole herd of buffalo.
Right, and it's one thing to be on the edge of that, right? But you must have been running and gotten yourself in the middle of it. So how did your feelings change as you went through the herd, you know, essentially to get to the other side?
Oh, it was eerie. It was one of the most eerie things I've ever done. I grabbed my wife, and we actually slowed our pace because I didn't want to scare him, you know. So we slowed our pace down, and I told her, I was like, don't shine your light directly on any of them, because I was scared one of them was going to come charging at us, because we just see these huge shadowy figures on each side of us. And then, you know, you're scanning your eyes up. I'm trying not to shine my headlight on them, but you're still scanning the area, right? And you just see all their eyes looking straight at you. And it, you know, some of them are moving around a little bit too, because they're irked that we're there,
right?
And so it was I mean, luckily nothing happened. We were able to get out of that without any real scares. Just, you know, just an eerie feeling, though, as you're by these massive creatures. And there you are going through them. And you think, man, if one of these just decided it didn't want me here, it could charge me and I'm gone like that, you know?
Yeah. So one of the things I try to do with this podcast is to pull out the lessons out of everyday life. And as you're talking, you know, one of the lessons that kind of comes to mind is how much quicker your mind works when you're in situations that are risky, that you recognize, right? When you're being asked to do something that's challenging your senses and challenging your mind and requiring it to work quickly, those memories tend to stay with you, right? Like, you remembered Moby and that buffalo incident, and it was blocked out for me. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, or I didn't feel it was as high risk, or I didn't notice it. I did notice the one when we first started. And then this experience with your wife, the same thing, right? Those are memories that stick with you. And it's interesting how these types of memories impact us and our perception of how we live our lives, right? Like, this is the stuff that sticks with you. And so if you're living your life in kind of that what I like to describe as a mayonnaise sandwich, right, where you're not really trying to be happy and you're not really trying to be sad, you're just living in that norm the whole time, then you never get to those experiences that really kind of stick with you and help you be able to have a reference point for other times in your life where you need to remember that you're in a really good position in life, right? Like, you know, as things change, like, well, this isn't as bad as the run with the buffalo, you know, or, you know, like, it gives you that perspective. You don't get that perspective from sitting still on the couch. You get that perspective from doing things and living with, you know, the experiences that come with doing things. And so I think that's probably the lesson to share with the audience today is just, you know, don't sit on your couch. You're not going to have any cool experiences. You're going to have a story to share. Hey, man, this one time I watched Star Wars 6 times in a day.
Yeah. Right? Like
that's not much of an experience. But yeah, running with the buffalo was just, man, do I remember that, you know? And now when I go running, I'm not doing a whole lot of distance, Jacob. I got hurt in Germany. My foot's kind of messed up. So I get a couple miles in. I think the most I've ever done in one shot is 4 miles, which just seems so piddly compared to what I used to run. It's sad. But it's all in suburbia, right? Like, the most adventurous, outdoorsy, you know, kind of thing I've been able to do recently is snowshoeing, because it's just me and the shoes and the outdoors, and there's nobody. I could scream and nobody'd hear. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those, like, off by yourself type of things. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Tonight I was out on a run, actually, when you called me, and I was running on the base of a mountain, and I just love that aloneness. I mean, I was just singing my music that I had going as I'm out on these trails, and it's just, I love it. I love the peace of being out there with the wildlife.
It's awesome. So I mean, normally I keep these episodes to about 10 minutes. This is our first interview we've done. It's going to take me a while to clean this up tonight. I think this is a good spot to end on. Jacob, is it possible we could bring you into the show in a future date? Would you be okay with that?
Oh, for sure.
Cool. Well, then let's wrap this up. This is the part where I tell you that the best way to say thank you for this episode is to share it with somebody that you know. If you're just joining us for this episode, then we're glad you could make it. And if you want to stick around for the long haul, then remember, this podcast can be delivered directly to your favorite device by using the subscribe links you can find in the show notes below or over at parkingthought.com. We're also on YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podbean, wherever you happen to have your podcast app from, you'll be able to find us to subscribe.
I'm gonna pull it up tonight, Jacob, and start listening to it.
Sounds good. The back catalog's a little rough. This is more about expressing than about really enlightening society, but you know, the audience seems to love it, and I love them too. At the end of each episode, I like to challenge the audience to remember that in a world where you can literally choose to be anything, well, why not choose to be grateful?